All right, welcome everyone. Welcome. How are you guys doing tonight? You guys excited for Kabbalah 2? I'm very excited as well. So, we're going to have a very powerful 10 weeks. 10 weeks where in Kabbalah 1, our main focus was understanding the game of life, the overview, why things happen, how they came to be, where we find ourselves as souls in this game of life. In Kabbalah 2, we go deeper. If Kabbalah 1 was more macro, this will be micro. This will be internal. We'll learn about ourselves, why we are specifically the way we are. We will focus on relationships, the relationships that we have in our lives. Think right now, all the unique types of people the Creator has brought you to your life. If it's the soul of your first love, the first person you ever fell in love with, do you remember who that was? Or you can call it infatuation or need, but you were connected emotionally to that person. Do you remember who it is? Try to think for a moment. Do you remember when it was? Do you remember what happened? What happened? No, just kidding. Don't tell me. But who that person is, how they came into your life, and what they did to you or for you was designed by the Creator to give you a spiritual message, to learn something, to transform something, to grow so that we could be the vessel to receive more light and more blessings. Unfortunately, most people don't know why they have the relationships they have or had the relationships they had. So what happens is they're bound to repeat similar relationships. Because the only point of a relationship is to learn. To learn, to grow. Yes, we can say we went through pain, we grew, but there are so many lessons that we can extract about our own personal tikkun, our own personal correction, that if we actually extracted all of that from one relationship, we wouldn't need any more. We wouldn't need any more painful ones. We could learn everything from just one. So in Kabbalah 2, we'll examine past relationships and current ones, and we'll see a glimpse of what future ones we might draw into our lives. And the first class of Kabbalah 2 will be about proactive confrontation. How many of you are excited to learn about how to communicate? How to communicate better with people? Raise your hand. Do we all feel that we could use a little more wisdom in this area? Because Kabbalistic confrontation is very powerful. It is not operating on the physical level. You know, I tried to read some books about this topic. Listen to other speakers. Google information, proactive confrontation and communication. A lot of very wise tips about how, when, in what way, body language, tone, many different secrets about the actual act of confronting. The Kabbalists share the confrontation is a war that begins in the spiritual world. It's something that before you even open your mouth or have a meeting with someone, there is a tremendous amount of spiritual work that has to be done so that you're not talking from your brain or your ego or your hurt or your pain or what you think is right, because that is so limited and people don't hear you. People don't feel light when we're coming from our ego. Do you agree? Yes or no? But how can I just be a channel? Have you ever felt just being a channel where it was you weren't attached to it anymore? You didn't feel like you even cared how it turned out. It was just you felt something was speaking through you. Have you ever experienced that? Tremendous amount of preparation goes into confrontation and communication. You know, I'll segue, you know, I'm going to go on a tangent for a moment, but it's such a powerful concept and it'll help you remember. When parents or people decide to have a child, right? You decide to have a child. How much preparation spiritually do people go through before they have a child? What do I mean by spiritually? Imagine the night of conception. Okay? Now that I have your attention. The night of conception. You know, they decide, I think it's time that we have a child. I'm ovulating now. It's perfect timing. You know, maybe a nice dinner. You know, I'm talking about ideal scenario. Maybe a nice dinner, romance, communication a little bit. Bring a soul into the world. Kabbalists say the thoughts that the parents have on the night, or whoever has on the night of conception or the moment of conception, will determine what type of soul it draws from the upper world, what kind of strength that soul will have, what kind of internal qualities that soul will have, what kind of environmental qualities that soul will have, what kind of a tikkun process that soul will have, all based on what? The thoughts of the parents during intercourse. Isn't that powerful? Imagine, what do we think goes into raising a child? The right schools, the right lessons, you teach your children all the time, set an example for them, the food, what kind of food you give them. It's actually started even way before. The majority of the energy and strength and protection a child would get actually was before, and not even the night of conception. How much spiritual work did the parents go through before they even conceived? Imagine coming with a dirty soul to draw down a soul. Imagine I had the worst day. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm confused. Then I bring down a soul. Imagine I'm jealous. Imagine a person is conceiving with thinking about somebody else. We are responsible for everything, first on a spiritual level. And if we confront life spiritually, before even dealing with the physical, it's so powerful. You'll feel the energy, you'll see the protection, you'll see everything. Are you guys excited to learn about that? Yes? I think you're thinking too much about what I said about the night of conception. So, let's learn a concept. A new concept. Here we have three columns. Column number one is our soul. Did you know that the soul is connected completely to the light of the Creator? Do you believe the soul is immortal? Yes or no? When a person dies, does the soul die? What does the soul do? It depends on who you ask. But Kabbalistically, what do we believe happens to the soul? Reincarnation comes back in a different body, a different circumstance. Same or different tikkun? Same tikkun. It's the spiritual baggage. Remember the class about the spiritual baggage? Do you remember what I had in my hands? What did I have? Remember? Spiritual baggage. We all come with the same baggage. Different body, same baggage. What's in this purse, I carry with me from lifetime to lifetime until I correct it. Now, it could be a different purse, different color, you know, real leather, fake leather, doesn't matter. But what's inside the purse, what's inside my suitcase will always be the same. The soul sees everything. It knows everything. Your soul sees the future. Your soul already knows who it should marry. Your soul already knows what its passion and what its purpose is. Any question you have right now in your life that you're confused about, the soul already knows the answer. It's inside, right? And we've heard that before. It's all inside you. If my soul already knows everything and knows how to get through any challenge, any problem, any difficulty, the soul already knows the exact route, how come the body doesn't know? We have a body that encapsulates the soul. There is a problem here. The soul has a lack of communication with the body. The soul, you go out on a date with someone, and you know what the body sees? The body sees, wow. The body already sees the night of the wedding. The body already sees, wow, what an amazing person. Oh, the cologne, the perfume. It reminds me of a girl I used to love in high school. I had a crush on, and now it's bringing back positive feelings and emotions, and it just feels right. And you know, there was a psychic that told me I'm gonna, you know, it was gonna all happen around now, and it just felt right. That's what the body feels. Now, how many times is the body correct? How many people, when they got married and the body told them, this is the person you marry, found out that the body was correct a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later? What's the percentage of the body being correct? The body is correct, usually 3%, 6% on a good day. The body doesn't really see the truth. The soul sees the truth. So it's very easy. What do you got to do? Connect your body to your soul. But we have a space here called a space. The Kabbalists have a name for it. The actual name is called nefesh. N-E-F-E-S-H. Nefesh. You don't need to know it. I just wanted to give you the technical term. The nefesh is like a membrane between the soul and the body. What is the nefesh? Like a?
Membrane.
Very good. A membrane. What is in this membrane? All the spiritual baggage of a person. All the tikkuns of a person. All the negativity he or she has created lines the membrane that blocks, that divides the body and the soul. Now, do you want to see all the types of tikkuns that can exist? Would that be interesting to you? All of them. Choose what you like. Let's start with level one tikkun. There are four levels of tikkun. This is level one. Level one, and each one, by the way, we can have, and we probably will have, an entire class about it. And I promise you, whatever you think you don't have, if we did a class on it, we'd see how much we have. Pride. Pride is whenever I think I'm better than someone. Has it ever happened? Pride is also when I think I'm horrible and I don't think I'm better than anybody. Pride goes both ways. Anger, whenever I feel entitled to the way something should happen. Hatred, when I just feel like I want the other person to die. And it happens to everyone, by the way. Because when we get into that corner, when our buttons are pressed up against the wall, it can be someone we really love, by the way. We really love. And they start digging. You know what you feel? You feel hatred, even for a moment. You feel, I wouldn't mind if you left this world. Wouldn't care. For a moment. Now, of course, you love this person. You don't want that to happen 5 seconds later. But the hatred comes out. And that hatred blocks us. We find hatred in the world many times. We see people who never had hatred. All of a sudden, the hatred comes out. So this is a poison that exists in the membrane. Control. When people try to micromanage, control life, control scenarios. Judgment. Judging myself. Guilt. Shame. Judging others. Thinking I'm better. Why did they do this? Why did they do that? And it goes on and on. Many, many secrets about each one. Level two. Negative speech and commitment tikkuns. Commitment issues. Level, by the way, negative speech, we can have a whole 35-week course just on what kind of words build and what kind of words destroy. Level three, jealousy, lust, addiction, approval, pleasing, people pleasing, neediness. Level 4, laziness, sadness, self-hatred. And I forgot to mention one more, guilt and shame. Go on level 4. Guilt and shame. And I'm not going to get into it today, but in the future, astrology Kabbalistically plays a big role in understanding tikkun. Did you know that? According to a person's astrological makeup, it can reveal a lot about the complicated web of tikkuns a person came to the world with. So if a person has certain fears or insecurities, their soul will actually come down energetically under an astrological influence. And we're not going to get into astrology and really what it means, but it's energy. It's an energy intelligence. So if I'm born under a sign of Scorpio or Pisces or Capricorn or whatever, it influences me in some way and awakens certain tikkuns. So actually, these four levels correspond to astrology. The first, fire sign. The second, air. The third, water. The fourth, earth. And again, the details of that we'll speak about in the future. If I want to see the future, if I want to feel joy, internal happiness, not based on what I got or I didn't get or how they treated me or what they said or they didn't say, true inner joy, it's only by connecting the body and the soul. It's only by closing the space. The light of the Creator is oneness or separation? What sounds right to you? Oneness? Anybody think the light of the Creator is separation? The light of the Creator is fragmentation or unity? Unity. For some reason, when we say the word unity, it feels what? Does it feel right or does it feel wrong to you? When you hear the word unity, do you feel like it has a negative connotation or a positive one? Why? Who said? Fragmentation and division. Does that sound positive or negative? It just sounds that way, right? For the whole world. It doesn't matter what religion, race, anywhere in the world. Unity, people love unity. When people are united, it's very powerful. When two people are united, it says that the satan, the opponent, can't touch them. Even two negative people, by the way. Two people who are committed, let's say, to rob banks or to steal. If they have love and unity between them, they will be successful. As soon as there's a little separation, as soon as there's a fight, tension, division, you know what happens? Satan comes in, the whole thing falls apart. In a business, in an executive level, in a friendship, in a marriage, you want to know when it goes downhill? When there's no more unity. When there's an opening, when there's a space, Satan comes in. How dangerous space is. When there's space between the soul and the body, Satan controls the show. And when Satan controls the show, what do I feel? I just feel down. I don't know why. I feel so sad. I have no reason to be sad. I just feel sad. When Satan is controlling the show, I just have negative thoughts. They keep hitting my head. I'm sitting in class, I'm trying to listen, and Satan is saying stupid things to me, making me worry about something that happened 3 hours ago, something that's going to happen in 2 hours, or I'm thinking about food, or I don't know what. I'm trying to focus here. We call it ADD. We call it many different things. But the true healing of the body is when it cleans out, and this is a lifetime of work, but cleans out the things we've learned in Kabbalah 1. We remove the space. Life is about removing space. If I want to find my soulmate, notice what we call it, soulmate. Soulmate is not a person. Soulmate is a feeling of unity. I need to be a soul. I need to be connected to my soul. If I'm not connected to my soul when I'm looking for a relationship, I'm going to connect to the body mate. The body mate. Most people marry the body mate. Two bodies interacting, the bodies feel good, that's it. Eventually, people grow and they mature and they start having connections to the soul. And they realize, wait a minute, now that I am connected to my soul, I don't know about this. That's why we can never really trust our emotions. I would not trust my emotions to tell me what's right and wrong, and that's it. We have to trust the spiritual system. If I feel down today, that's an indication of absolutely nothing. If I feel up today, that's an indication of nothing. Why? Because moods change. What's really happening? If someone wants me to pick them up from the airport tonight, hey, can you pick me up from the airport? Sure. It's uncomfortable and I'm tired. Yeah. Is that indication that it's the wrong thing to do because I'm uncomfortable and tired? No. It just means you're selfish. No, of course not. But it doesn't mean anything. Emotions don't mean anything. If you get rejected 10 times and now you feel down and bad, does that mean you're in a bad place? No, just because you got rejected 10 times, that's the preparation to catapult you to success. Yeah, but I feel down. Feelings mean nothing. Keep moving. What does the spiritual system say? Certainty, work hard, move forward. Yeah, but I don't feel like it. Who cares what you feel? Who cares what you feel? I'm in a bad mood. I don't want to give you love. Who cares what you feel, bad mood or not? What does the spiritual system say? Give love, but I don't want to give love. Who cares? Who cares what you want? What's right? What will reveal the light is the way we should think all the time. What's going to reveal the light? I want the light. I'm right. I said that I'm right. You're wrong. You hurt me. I'm right. Who cares? You want the light or you want to be right? Which one do you want? No, I want to be right. I don't care if this relation, I don't care if there's space. Space? Good. Teach you a lesson. You're not teaching anybody a lesson. All you're doing is bringing Satan into your life. If I fight with my wife, fights happen. Fight with your wife. Fight with your husband. It's normal. It's tikkun. It's a process. The question is, how quickly you do what? Close the space. You know what? I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to shut down and I'm going to leave. I'm going to go out. I'm going to make you suffer for the way you treated me. And you leave. Guess what Satan does? Satan says, well, finally, he left. Whew. He comes and he sits next to your wife. It's Nancy. Nancy, Nancy, Nancy. I'm so happy Gerald's left. So anyways, now that he's created space for me to come inside your home, is it okay if I go and show myself around? I'm going to talk to your kids a little bit. You know, put some depression into them. Maybe some bullying. I'll open up to some bullying text and, you know, get their addictions rolling a little bit. And you know, maybe I'll put some thoughts into your mind about another man. Remember that guy in the office who treats you well so often and he just smiles and he just always makes you laugh? Makes you laugh. Do you know what he looks like without a shirt on, in fact? I bet you thought about it, right? And Nancy's having a whole conversation now. It's a ton. Where's Gerald? Out teaching Nancy a lesson. Satan's like, all right, well, Nancy, I'll get back to you. I'm going to go now into your husband's laptop and enter into his business and his accounts, and I'm going to go talk to some of his clients. Well, he invited me. What can I do? He invited me. Let me go enjoy the energy. You know how dangerous it is? We can't have space, not because we're righteous or spiritual people, because we don't want Satan in my home. So what should I do? There's a fight. There's a fight, and we're going to learn. You have to come from the place where you want to close the space. Now, you can be pouty in a bad mood. That's fine. We all need a process. We all go through stuff. You can even leave the house. But you leave the house knowing, I really want to close the space, but I need a break. I need a break. I need to go cool off, but I really want to close the space. I spoke with a couple recently, and he says that he gets in a bad mood, he shuts down, and he gets angry at his wife. But now that he's learning Kabbalah, you know what he does? He's still in a bad mood, he still shuts down because it's overpowering. But what he does is he walks over to his wife, like this. Hold your hand. Brilliant. Why is this brilliant? He's angry. Huh? He's closing the space. Because he says, look, I just want the light, even though I'm still upset with her. I'm going to hold her hand. All right. Listen, and he says, I'm still upset with you. I'm still upset with you. I'm going to hug you right now, but I'm upset. We're going to talk about this, but I'm going to hug you now. This guy, Satan's like, all right, I'm going to go bother somebody else. I can't be here. See how powerful that is? Closing the space. How many people do we have space with in our lives? Living or dead? Any area we have space, we are creating a habitation for Satan. We probably gave him an apartment, keys. We probably stock his fridge, gave him Netflix and a television screen. And we said, you can camp out here and dominate this part of my life. Anywhere there's space. Yeah, but what if they hurt me? What if they are the worst human being? Now, did I say be best friends with them? Did I say you need to talk to them even? No, but you can't have the space. Space isn't physical. What is space? Space is energy. How do you know you have space with someone? You know. You just know. It's hard to put in words. Do you know if you have space with someone? Is anybody confused about that? You don't know if you have space with somebody, right? Yes or no? Okay, let's put it into words. You feel tension. You feel if they walked into the room, you might get a little upset. You might feel weird. You might feel awkward. You feel like you can't be honest with them. You feel that you want to say something to them and you haven't said it. You feel like you want them to learn a lesson. Space. What if they did the worst thing to you? I'm not saying it's easy. What I am saying is, what's your goal? Your goal needs to be, number one, close the space inside you. People come into our lives to teach us a lesson. The first step of proactive confrontation is, why is it in my movie? Second step is, how do I close the space? Which we're going to discuss in a moment. So what I want you guys to do right now, I'm going to give you a worksheet. Here's a worksheet that goes over proactive confrontation, the first two steps. So the rest we're going to speak about next week. I want you to take this paper and I want you to turn it face down. When you get the paper, I want you to think of three people in your life that you have space with. Three people that come to your mind that you feel a very dominant space with. Okay? Gabe, can you do me a favor? Pass out to the group behind you. You guys have an extra one you can hand over.
Oh, yeah?
All right, turn it face down. What are we writing? We are writing on the back three people that we have space with. Yes? Oh, you need another paper? Do we have any extras? Three people we have space with. Space is defined by tension, resentment. We feel we have unsaid words, people that we wouldn't mind if they learned their lesson. When you're done, I want you to pair up. I want you to pair up with someone in your table, okay? And what I want you to do, I want you to turn your paper over. I want you to take turns reading step one to each other. Okay? So read, don't go to step two. Just read up to step one to each other. And then I'm going to tell you the workshop of what you should do with step one. Okay? So read step one to each other, and then I will tell you what you should write down and discuss, okay? Do it in pairs. This will be the most effective way to do this workshop. Okay, so pair up. If you're an odd pair, you could do a group of three. Okay? All right, everyone. Let me give you the workshop now. If you haven't finished, you can finish in a moment. Here's the workshop. You got to pick one person that you have space with, that you feel like the Creator wants you to close the space with. You got to feel these things, right? You got to feel what your soul wants. Your soul is trying to tell you, listen, if you close the space with this person, you're going to get the blessings. Forget about them, right or wrong. We're not the punishers here. We are not allowed to teach people lessons and punish them. That's not our job. Our job is to become the perfect vessel to allow the light of the Creator through us. That's it. That's our only job in this world. Let's not get mixed up with other jobs. Don't worry about them. They have a tikkun, they have a process, and we don't even know what our relationship with them was past lives or many lives before. What we know is I need to become a vessel of light. So pick one person and discuss and eventually write down, what do you feel the message is for you? What do you feel the Creator is trying to tell you about what you need to change? And we can refer to the board. We can refer to Kabbalah One. What do I refer to your phone call? You had a phone call. Remember somebody told you what you need to change? There's a message. And it's always the same message, by the way, coming back again and again. Discuss it with the person next to you. And when you finally find what it is, and sometimes it kind of like hurts a little when you find it, write it down. Okay? I'll give you a minute to do that. All right, everyone. All right. Okay. I know you may have some questions. So let's get those microphones out. Who would like to ask a question or would like me to help them go deeper with what they chose? Yes, Izzy. Do we have a mic? Yeah. So you and Justin did the workshop.
Sorry. Hi, I'm Izzy. I just have a question about confronting in general, because it's really difficult for me. Because I was explaining to my partners that I don't really see the need, if I feel like I'm right, to try to get the other person to see my point, and I'd rather just walk away and not talk to them anymore.
Okay, that's nice. So why is that? Why would you rather not? So for you, you don't get satisfaction out of confrontation. You rather just be right, walk away, and say, you know, screw them, forget them, who cares, right? Okay. So, and do you feel that this attitude brings more light into your life?
I mean, I know it's bad because that's why I'm here and why I was excited to come to this class. But, like, I don't have an overwhelming need to tell any of the people that I have issues with what my issues are. Like, sure. I don't. I'm happy not talking to them.
Rule number one, never trust your
emotions.
Emotions. just because my emotions tell me I'm cool, I'm good, I don't need it, does that mean that it's not going to create chaos in my life? Should I do everything based on what I feel? Of course not. So what does the opponent, what does Satan do to our emotions here? Makes you feel indifferent. I'm good. I'm satisfied. Satan makes you satisfied because he knows as long as he can create this tension, this separation, it's not sharing, right? You're not being like the light if you're not sharing, if you're not caring about somebody else. How do you want the Creator to treat you? The Creator will say, Izzy, she didn't get it. Do you want that?
No.
What do you want him to do if he sees that you didn't get it? Well, how would you want him to treat you, the Creator?
To be patient.
To be patient? What else?
Understanding.
And do you want him always to be facing you, waiting eagerly for an opening of how to help?
Yes.
Or would you want him to, like, kind of give you a cold shoulder, you know, get passive aggressive, you know? How do you want it?
The former.
Right. So the Creator is our shadow. How we treat people is what we earn. It's simple science. What we earn that the Creator treats us. The relationship the light has with us will mimic the relationship we have with people. And that's what's so powerful. If I want the light to be close to me, I have to be close to people. Yeah, but I hate people. But some people have told me, I genuinely just like being alone. I don't see the need to talk to anybody about anything, anywhere. And they have their life and I have mine. You know, some people say that, right? Right, but you can't do that because that's against the reason why you came to this world. The Creator didn't just create you to go sit in your corner and be happy with yourself. That would be a waste of a body. If the Creator created you with a purpose to fix his creation. And how do you fix his creation? By fixing the space inside you and the space between you and people. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, but what if I confront someone, it makes them upset?
All right, so we're not there yet. It means okay. We didn't go through the steps properly.
Okay.
So the first reason why people will be upset with our words is because we didn't do step one. So what's step one?
Is to close the space within yourself.
Yeah, so in this case, what would be closing the space within you? Who is the person you picked?
My mom's stepmom.
Your mom's stepmom.
Yeah, so my step-grandma.
Step-grandma, I never heard that before. That's good. All right.
She's a special person.
She's a special person. Okay. Is she living?
Yes.
Is she alive? She alive? Okay. Yes. So what did you find out? What did you realize about why the Creator put her in your life?
I said, because I worry too much what other people think about me.
So that's what you came up with, right?
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So that's the tikkun. That's the message. That's the gift that she brought to you. So just by realizing it, you're already closing the space. Because when you identify your tikkun, you're already 90% there to finishing it off. Now, if you really want to know what's the best thing to do before you confront her, we don't know how to confront her yet. We're not there yet. Right now, we're building up the light. We want to connect to the light. The light's going to show us what to do. You'd have to spend the whole week working on that message, not caring what people think, not looking for people's approval. Do you see how you could do that this week?
Yes.
Okay, so what will happen if Izzy all week makes that her focus? She will bring so much energy down. And that energy will then create the perfect scenario to confront her step-grandma. What do most people say? Oh, I have an issue with her? Either I'm going to say forget her or I'm going to address it. It's wrong. We don't know how to address it. We don't know when she should address it. We don't even know where she should address it. How do we know if she should pick up the phone, go to her house, send her an email, send her a text, write her something? Only the Creator knows. The Creator is going to tell your soul, and your soul is going to tell your body. And if you want to save yourself a lot of headache, time, and money, do it that way. If you want to try and then get rejected, and they didn't listen to you, and they're not open, and you have a worse relationship now, and go and waste days, hours, and agonize over it, so just do it the way you want to do it. I'm just going to tell you what I feel. We're doing it in the way with the light. Everyone follows me on that? So the first step is take the whole week, work on yourself. And then we're going to go to step two in a moment, you'll see. All right. Thank you, Izzy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who else would have a question? Yes, Yuval.
Regarding the space, there is anything like with the dead people space?
Yes.
Because the last 15 years, I found myself in the cemetery, visit my family, you know, and in the beginning, it was like sometime daily or even weekly. Today, it's once a month, once every 2 weeks. But I think that it's blocked me, you know, for keep going.
Are you not going because you feel some, you're hurt or you're upset about something between you and them?
Between them, yeah, because they left us, you know. Mm. Between the drunk driver hit them. And
a drunk driver hit your...
My family, and they're gone.
What do you mean by your family? Who in your family?
My cousin, her husband, and the baby 9 days before 2 years old. And to me, it looked like the parents don't even care. The brother, the sister don't care. And I found myself all the time in the cemetery, cleaned the stone or stuff like this. And I feel like it's enough is enough, you know. I need to get over it. I need a space from them. Mm. Maybe to do it in once a year in January when it's the yearly.
Hmm. So space from them is not the way we're using the word space, right?
That's why I ask.
So the question is, what's the lesson for you? That's the question. You feel that something's not right, right?
I feel responsible to honor them and to...
Why do you feel responsible to honor them?
Because nobody do it in the family. Everybody there, you know, nobody in the year. In
Are you upset with them that they don't do it?
With them too, yes. But
okay. All right, so I would actually look at that. Being upset with them that they're not doing it, so now you're doing it instead. There's something there. Remember you told me something in class a couple of weeks ago that you had a powerful realization. Remember what that was?
Yeah.
What was it?
That I don't believe in the Satan. And
you don't believe in Satan?
Yeah, and I feel in my spirit, you know. This is what I need to do.
No, but you said you learned something about the way you give.
It's for my heart.
No. You said that, remember Bread of Shame, about the class of Bread of Shame? What did you say about that?
No, it's wake me up, the Bread of Shame, what you told us about Bread of Shame. Yes, I said that I opened my eyes to, wait a minute, everybody take.
Everybody takes from you?
Yeah.
And you just give?
I love it. I saw that it's okay to give, no?
Is it okay to give all the time?
I learned lately, don't know.
Right?
I was very, very, how you call it? Kitsoni.
Naive?
I went from one from giving point to kick the people.
You went from one extreme to another.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And is either one of them okay?
I don't care about them because I feel 20 years they use me and abuse me. Goodbye.
You see what's happening here? First, you overgave, which isn't always good for people. It's almost as bad as hurting them, right? So you said, wow, I'm actually hurting them. But instead of taking responsibility and saying, I enabled them, you said, wait a minute, they took advantage of me. Now, I'm going to stick it to them. I'm going to go the opposite extreme. That's what you just said. Opposite. I'm going to kick them to the curb. So, but either way, are you thinking about them? Understand? Either way, am I coming from a giving place about them? Or in each scenario, what am I thinking about? Myself and the way I feel when I give. You have a very tricky tikkun, actually. It's very tricky. Because it's so sharing. It's so positive. It seems like, what's wrong with the way you act? But deep inside, what you would have to look at is why you do it. Why you feel you need to take responsibility for everyone else's problems. Why you feel you need to do other people's work. Why you feel that you need to take away people's process. People have a process they need to go through. Why?
I guess I came from a house like this. My dad, this is what he teaches us. To give, and everything will be okay in the end.
But it's not true.
Now I open my eyes.
Right, so what I would look at is the why. It's not just because my dad did it. If you ask yourself, where am I coming from that I feel I need to do that? sometimes we'll see that it's a way for me to escape. It's like a way for me to feel good because I'm trying to do it to replace something else. It's tricky, but I think you might have a powerful realization the same way you did after Bed of Shame. So I want you to think about that, you know, in the next couple of weeks. All right?
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
You know, I sit with my business partner and I tell him, you know what? We need to separate the office. He said, no, I need you next to me because I love when you talk so much. It's the first time that somebody told me, oh, keep talking.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. All right, let's move on to step number two. What is step number two? After I find what it is about me, after I start to work on it, like we did with Izzy, I'm going to start to work on it. When you work on it, you build the light. You connect with the light. You draw the light down. Step two is, how can I come from a giving place? Next week, we're going to talk about the actual confrontation, the actual email, the text, the one-on-one, the sit-down, the approach. But before that, in your heart, you have to come from the place of giving. And this is the hard one. But I don't want to give. I don't like them. I don't like what they did to me. How can I come from the giving place? I need to ask the Creator for strength. I need to want it. If you want it, you'll find a way. I need to. My life depends on closing the gap. If you're upset with your partner, with the person you love, and you just had a fight, okay, take 10 minutes, take 20 minutes, take 30 minutes, whatever you need. But realize, okay, I need to come from a giving place. Let me try to understand them. Let me try to feel them. Maybe I'll ask somebody for help. Brandon, help me. Help me come from a giving place with them. I feel hurt. I feel pain. I want to come from a giving place. Call your friend and say, help me. Feel, open my heart. Don't call your friend and say, you know what they did? They did this. They did that. That's what they did. That's not going to help you reveal the light. It's about shifting the direction. What's the direction I want to go in? My life depends on it. If in the next hour I don't close this space, I'm literally giving the keys to Satan to invade my life. It sounds a little dramatic. But it's that fear that actually should kind of wake us up and say, space is not worth it. Hatred is not worth it. Judgment is not worth it. Don't get lost into the politics of things. Don't get lost into the right and the wrong. Right and wrong is Satan. Light or dark? That's the rules that we operate by. Light or dark? That's it. What would the Creator do? The Creator would love. The Creator would shine. What would you want the Creator to do to you? If you made the Creator mad, you want the Creator to be patient, love you, wait for an opening, come talk to you, give you a hug, touch your hand. You have to be this person. You have to be this person. So read step two with your partner and discuss how you could come. We might not find the right answer tonight, but it's the step towards how you could come more from a giving place with this one person that we want to close the space with, okay? Please. All right, everyone. Questions? I'll be honest with you. Questions? Yes, Gabe.
I was wondering if you could maybe just elaborate a little bit about step two, number one, point C.
scientific. Kabbalah is scientific.
Closing the space doesn't mean we have to be their best friend. Do we have to keep them in our lives? So I have a similar situation where I made an attempt. I had a really terrible space with someone, and then I tried to close it, And we're not in each other's lives anymore, and but I still feel a tension with him. And sometimes I think I still want him to die. So, you know.
Okay. If you remember from Kabbalah no, one.
Other one. Other class.
Oh, it was a different class?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or was it this one?
All right. No. So, okay. Yeah, look. That's the truth is, the satan is stubborn. Our negativity is stubborn. If you might have some kind of regret or judgment or hatred towards someone or something, and it's not going to leave that easy. It's crusted. It's been crusted inside the heart, inside the membrane. You clean it out, and it's still stuck. We're going to have many, many classes and many tools, many awakenings that you're going to chip away at each one of these things. But tonight's class asks the question, what is your desire? Is your desire to close the space? Wherever your desire goes, the energy flows. The problem is, at some point, we stop having the desire to close the space, so the space stays. As long as I'm constantly taking inventory, and I'm constantly realizing space is not good. Maybe before tonight's class, we didn't think space is not good. We said, space, it is what it is. It's their problem. No, space is our problem. I'm responsible. Even if they hate you, you can't hate them. Even if they don't want to hear from you or they want to hold a grudge against you, you can't hold it against them. That's your free will. Finding a way to forgive and to let go first requires the desire to do so. Then you ask the Creator for strength. We learned this in Kabbalah 1. I know if I had something inside me that it was there and I realized, wait a minute, I don't want this cancer inside. This is a cancer. I don't want this inside my body. This cancer has got to go. I would talk to the Creator. I would study as much as possible about that topic. I would study about forgiveness. I would read scientific books about forgiveness. I would go peruse the internet, forgiveness. That would be my desire. And because I know I can't have cancer inside me. It's cancer. I've been upset with people, and I'm like, wait a minute, I'm upset? This is cancer. I don't want it. Please, Creator, show me a way. I study. I read. I listen to the same class over and over again. As I'm eating my food, I'm like, with the light of this food, remove this. With the light of this food. There's energy in the food. There's light in the food. Food, this apple, please remove it. I don't want it. Eventually it goes. Eventually, if you want it to go, it goes. Whatever you want happens, by the way. Whatever you want. If you want it to stay, it'll stay. If you want it to go, you'll meet people who will help you make it go. How bad you want to let it go? And if you're stuck with something, it's because you don't want to let it go. It's comfortable. You like it. And you get energy. Energy from hating someone. So you know how empowering it is to hate? People, that's why people build movements around hate, because it's so much energy. Hatred, it says you draw light reactively. So it powers you. You can draw light many ways, right? Drugs draw light too. That's why people are addicted to drugs. You draw light. Hatred, you draw light too. It's just that the vessel can't hold that light, and then that light goes to Satan. And then Satan gets powerful. And then you go draw more light again through hatred. We're going to learn about that process. Bless you. We're going to learn about that process soon. But tonight's class is about what's your desire. And your desire needs to be to come from a giving place. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. For you, it's not worth it. You're not married and you want to be married? It's because of the space you have with people. You're not successful, you want to be successful? Money's always leaving your hands. Comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. Why does money keep coming and going? Space, right? It's like there's space in your hand. Money goes through your hand. Close the space. Become a vessel. Become a receptacle for light. That's why people can have everything and feel nothing. Because light comes in and it goes out through the holes in their soul. It goes right in there in that endless pit of our garbage. That black hole that separates the body and the soul. It's a black hole. Now we know what black holes are. They just suck the light and leave darkness. So in the next couple weeks, I want you to do everything in your power to do these two lessons. Make it your job. Make it your life. Make it your food. When you wake up in the morning, read that paper and ask yourself, what is that one thing I can work on this week, next week? In our next class, we're going to the next level. You will start to approach this person or this scenario. I hope you're going to be ready for it. But to be ready for it, you got to work on yourself in the next 2 weeks. Work on that one message you got. And work on coming from a giving place. Your life depends on it. Not to be dramatic, but your life depends on it. Everything depends on it. We're not going to be stuck in Kabbalah 2. No more stuck. Everyone's going to see a miracle. Everyone must see a miracle. And it can't be that the system's broken. The system is not broken. The system is perfect. We will see miracles in Kabbalah 2. Thank you very much. We'll all see you in a couple weeks, okay?